good morning, and thank you for coming, and may our learning be a merit, Lili Nishmas, Meira Chai, Nechama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Vas David Mordechai. We are on Gimel Amud Aleph, Masechet Tmura, the second page of Daf Yomi in this Masechta, Daf Gimel. The theme of today's Daf is going to be to continue interpreting a Braisa that was mentioned yesterday about the karbanot that Gentiles consecrate and the limitations that those karbanot have. The sacrifices of Gentiles don't have the same laws as the sacrifices of Jews. So on the Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to have verses to teach us the sources for that. And then on the Amud Beis, today's daf is going to discuss in great detail the concept of lav she'ein bo ma'asa. We know that a prohibition that does not entail an act normally does not get lashes as a punishment, but yet our Mishnah told us that for Tmura, if somebody does this prohibition, he violates the words of the Torah, lo yachtifenu v'lo yamir oto, he tried to take a holy sacrifice and tried to swap this animal for another animal, to say that the holiness should leave this animal and go on to the other animal, so he violated these laws, lo yachtifenu, he does get lashes, even though that's seemingly just words, even though it's seemingly a lav, she'ein bo ma'asa. So that'll be the two topics of today's daf. Let's start here at the two dots, Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Mar, we learned yesterday in a braisa, mukdashei ovdei kochavim, animals that a Gentile consecrates and makes into a sacrifice. So now it doesn't have the laws of normal karbanos. Lo ne'anin, you're not allowed to benefit from them. But v'lo mo'alin, but if someone did benefit from them, he would not have violated the law of me'ilah. He wouldn't have to bring a sacrifice, asham me'ilos, for the violation of the sacred. So lo nanin, to this law that you can't benefit from them, it's only a din d'rabbanan. That's only a rabbinic law. V'lo mo'alin, but the law that if you did benefit, it's not considered mi'ilah, mi'do'oraisa. That's a biblical law that's not mi'ilah. My time, what's the reason? What's the reason? It's a holy animal. A non-Jew made it holy, okay, but it's holy. So why would there not be a law of mi'ilah if a person gets secular benefit from it? The answer is because of the pasuk. The pasuk says, Nefesh kisim ol ma'al, a soul, when it will do mi'ilah, v'chata, and it will sin. If it does it bishgag, if it does it by mistake, it has to bring a karban. V'alfina, and we derive, it says the word chata. So we derive a gzera shava, chet, it says over here chet, and also in regards to truma, it also says chet. It says in regards to truma, v'shamru es mishmarti v'lo yisu alav chet. So therefore, uba truma ksiv, in regards to truma, it says, b'nei Yisrael. It says, v'lo yichalu es kodshei b'nei Yisrael. They shall not desecrate that which was made holy by the children of Israel. V'lo ovdei kochavim. Gentiles don't have the ability to create truma. The grain of a Gentile doesn't need to have truma taken from it. And therefore, just like a Gentile doesn't have truma, a Gentile sacrifice will not have me'ilah, because me'ilah is linked to truma. Then the Braisa says, if the Gentile made an animal holy, ein chayavan aleihem mishum pigul noser v'tamei. If a Kohen, made a mistake or didn't do the right thing when offering that animal, he had a thought that he was going to eat it at the wrong time, so that makes it pigul. Or the animal was actually left over past the time, it becomes nosa, or the animal is made tamei, and someone eats it, it doesn't have the violations of pigul nosa and tamei in a animal made holy by a Gentile. Why? So again, the sources are as follows. The chsiv b'tumah, it says in regards to the law that you can't eat a carbon when you're tamei, daber al aron velbanav, speak to Aaron and the sons, v'yinazru, and they shall avoid mikadshei b'nei Yisrael. Those things made holy by the children of Israel, if they're tamei, v'lo yechalalu eshem kadshi, and they shouldn't desecrate my holy name. So it says kadshei b'nei Yisrael. So since the law of Tumah only applies to Kodshei B'nai Yisrael, it doesn't apply to Karbanos made holy by Gentiles. The Gentiles are not B'nai Yisrael. Now, so that's how we know that Tumah doesn't apply to the Karbanos of Gentiles. How do we know that the law of Nosar, that leaving an animal out past its time, then you're not allowed to eat it, how do we know that that doesn't apply to the Karban of Gentiles? The Aleph Nosar, Chilul Chilul Mitumah. Nosar has a Gzeira Shava. The Ksiv Gabi Tumah, it says in regards to B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, V'lo Yechalalu, that this applies to the holy things of the children of Israel, and they should not desecrate them. Uksiv Gabei Nosar, and it says in regards to Nosar, in regards to the sacrificial meat that's now been left past its time, V'uchlov Avono Yisah, the one who eats it will carry his sin, ki es Kodesh Hashem, Chilel. Again, the key word being Chilel. So again, when you have Chilel, Chilel, that's how you know that the same law applies to Nosar as to that which is impure, just like with that which is impure, the Torah says explicitly, only the children of Israel. So to the Nosar, since it's linked to Chilul Chilul, only applies to the children of Israel. The Yalef Pigel, now how do we know that the law of Pigel, that if the Kohen, when doing one of the four key services, had an intention to eat the meat at the wrong time, and therefore the meat becomes contaminated, how do we know, and then no one else is allowed to eat that meat. If anyone eats that meat, they get kares. How do we know that that doesn't apply to the sacred animals of the Gentiles? So pigul is derived, avon minosar. Again, another gzera shava. The word avon appears in pigul, and it appears in nosar. We've already just said nosar is compared to tameh, and in tameh it says b'nei Yisrael. It says in regards to pigul, a soul that eats from it, avonatisa, she will carry her sin. So the key word is avon. It says in regards to nosar, vochlov, the one who eats the nosar, avono yisa, he will carry his sin. For that which is holy to God, he has desecrated. Vekulu, so in all of these, in tameh, nosar, and pigul, we now can say, B'nai Yisrael, it only applies to the children of Israel. V'lo ovdei kochavim, it doesn't apply to the sacrifices made holy by Gentiles. Another law, the Braisa says, an animal made holy by a Gentile, vein osin tmura, such an animal is not within the category of tmura. If somebody, the Gentile, says, I want to swap another animal for this one, so there's no violation, he doesn't have the law, don't make tmura, and he doesn't set in motion the process of making that other animal holy. Dichsiv, because the Torah says, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oso. He's not allowed to swap a sacred animal, he's not allowed to exchange a sacred animal. Uksiv, and it says, Beroshin, in the beginning of that section, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. Ishkiyafli neder be'erkecha. A man who will express a vow with your Erech. So apparently it only applies to B'nai Yisrael and not to the non-Jews. Lashon Acher, another explanation. V'einosin tzmura, if a non-Jew made an animal a holy sacrifice, and now the non-Jew wants to swap that animal for another animal, and the non-Jew says, this other animal is taking the place of this animal, it doesn't create the whole tzmura process. Why? My taima. Tzmura is mentioned right next to Maaser Behema, the mitzvah of giving every tenth animal as a korban. Maaser Behema, it's a tithe. So Maaser Behema is compared to Maaser Dagon, to the 10% that's given from the grain to the levy. The Gabi Maaser Dagon Ksiv, in regards to Maaser Dagon Ksiv, it says, for the maaser is of the children of Israel that they give to Hashem. So just we said that teruma doesn't apply to Gentiles. Maaser also doesn't apply to Gentiles. And therefore, B'nai Yisrael, children of Israel, not the Gentiles, just like the maaser doesn't apply to Gentiles, maaser behema doesn't apply to Gentiles, and if maaser behema doesn't apply to Gentiles, since tmura is compared to maaser behema, tmura also does not apply to Gentiles. Question, Baruch.
Only Jewish neshama, period.
I guess so, right? Only a Jewish neshama can make the type of holiness that would then have all these laws in it.
Now, if that Jewish, like, let's say he's Tameh. Let's say he's a Kohen and he went to, he touched a, you know, a dead animal.
Okay.
Can he make that Truma, or he has to go to Mikveh first before he make the Truma, Rabbi?
Tumura or Truma?
Truma.
If he has grain and he wants to give some grain to the Kohen?
No, if he has, let's say he wants to make a holy animal holy. But he's
he can still do it. He can still create. Yeah, he can still create
without this process. Going to Mikveh first.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's through his words. It's not through touch.
Yeah. Okay,
all right. The Braisa went through all sorts of limitations about the sacrifices of Gentiles. Ain mevi nesachim. A Gentile cannot donate an offering of just wine, avol karbano, but his, let's say, offering of an ola or his offering of a shlamim, ta'on nesachim, needs to be accompanied with wine. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that's a view of Rabbi Shimon. Again, immediately, what's the source for these laws? The Tana Rabbanim, in a braisa, the verse says, Ezrach, it says in regards to the Nesachim, the citizens, that the citizen is the one who gives the Nesachim. It says, Kol Ezrach Yasa Kacha Esedel HaKiv Ishe Reach Nichoach LaHashem. So Ezrach may be Nesachim. That tells you that the citizen, the Jew, can bring the Nesachim. Ein Ovid Kochav may be Nesachim. But the non-Jew does not bring Nesachim. So maybe his offering also is not accompanied with Nesachim. Tamaloma, that's what it says about the Ola Kacha. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be this way with the wine. No matter what, no matter who's the one bringing it, the animal needs to have wine accompanying it. So therefore, even if the Gentile is the one who's donating and bringing the Ola, it needs to be accompanied with wine. Amar Rabbi Yossi, then the Braisa said, Rabbi Yossi said, Roa ani bekulon lahachmir. I disagree. I say about all these laws, Me'ila, Tamei, Nosar, Pigul. I say about all these laws, I'm strict. And even the Gentile sacrifice, if you eat from it, you get Me'ila. If it's Tamei, if you're Tamei, you're not allowed to eat it. If it's Nosar, you get Kares for eating from it. So my time, why does Rabbi Yossi, why is he so strict? And he does give to the Gentile sacrifice all the laws. The answer is, since the verse says about the Gentile sacrifice, the word, Asher Yakrivu La Hashem La'ola, since it says La Hashem, for God, it means it has the full sanctity of everything else that's for God, and therefore it has all the laws. Then we're going back to the view of Rabbi Shimon, the Braisa says, when do we say there's no Me'ilah in the consecrations of the Gentiles, but Medan of Aramamur, when is that true? Bekachim is back in their sacrifices. Avu Bekachim Berek Abayis, but if a Gentile says, I'm making something holy for the repair of the temple, then Mo'alin Ba'an, then if somebody uses that holy item for their own secular purposes, it is Me'ilah. My time, why is that so? The Chigamin and Me'ilah Chet Chet Michuma. When do we derive the law of Me'ilah? With this Gzeira Shava from the word Chet to Truma. Dumya de Truma. It has to be like Truma. Because that's the whole source. Tekado, that's the source text to the Gentile. Tekado Shkishas Laguf. Truma is something which is intrinsically holy, right? The grain of Truma is holy to be given to the Kohen. But when somebody makes something holy for the temple repair, the Kedushas Damim, it's not intrinsically holy. The temple's not going to use the table. It's not going to use the chair that the guy said is Hekdesh. The temple's going to sell the table and with the money repair the temple. So it's only that the value that's holy. So if the value is holy, that's not comparable to Truma. So if it's not comparable to Truma, so then it's just regular making things holy. Then there's a law of Me'ilah to it. Therefore, low. It's not in the same category. All right, that completes the first section of today's daf. The first section of today's daf was to explain the braisa that we had mentioned yesterday, that the sacrifices of Gentiles, the holiness made by Gentiles is different than a holiness made by a Jew, and it has all sorts of differences. So now we just saw that there are sources for it. What's that?
It's not the same sanctity.
According to most opinions, yeah. Except we had the one opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says, right, we don't. He says, La Hashem includes it. Okay, so now we're going on to a new topic, and that is a big topic throughout Shas. Whenever the Torah says, don't do something, let's say the Torah says, don't muzzle your animal when your animal is stepping on the grain to do the threshing, to separate the chaff from the kernels of grain. So the Torah says, don't do something, and you then do something, so there is a punishment of lashes. The court would give 39 lashes. What happens if the Torah says, don't do something, but that thing that the Torah says not to do doesn't entail any doing? It's a passive reality. There's no action in it. In the eyes of halacha, just using the mouth, according to most opinions, is not considered an action. Let's say the Torah says, don't speak negatively about somebody else, lashon hara. So then there's no lashes. That's generally the rule. Most people feel that way. We'll see. Rabbi Yehuda says that there is lashes for lav she'ein bo ma'asa. But generally, most tana'im feel ein malchus. There's no lashes for lav she'ein bo ma'asa, for a prohibition which doesn't entail an act. The problem with that's going to be our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about something called tmura, which is not allowed, from the words lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiro so. And the Torah says, if somebody does it, loka, he gets lashes. So why would tmura get lashes? That's going to be the topic of the Gemara. The Gemara is ultimately going to say, hopefully we'll get to it, that tmura is considered an act, because since through the words you make something else holy, so you're creating such a big difference in the world, even though it's only through words, that's already considered an action. Okay, but let's first see
Rabbi,
the Gemara.
Rabbi, why do you say that putting a muzzle on an animal is not an action?
That is an action.
Oh.
Right, there is lashes. But when you have a prohibition with no action, then there's no lashes. So let's start. There'd be olam haba punishment, but there wouldn't be a punishment in the court here.
Because they're getting it physically now, today.
Let's see. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav Arul. Kol lo sase shabbat Torah. Whenever there's a prohibition in the Torah, asa ba maisa, if he doesn't act to violate it, chayiv, then he gets lashes. Lo asa ba maasa, if he doesn't need to do an act to violate it, pater, then there is no lashes. So Gemara says, Uklalahu, is that really a rule? To lav shein bo maisa pater, that a prohibition without an act, you don't get lashes. Vare meimer, but what about our Mishnah, Tmura? The Torah says don't do it. Lav shein bo maisa, it's a prohibition without an act, because it's just words. The lucky, and you do get lashes. Ditlan, as our Mishnah said, when we said hakol meimer, and everybody can do Tmura, lo shu rashay lahamir. We don't mean to say that you're allowed to do Tmura, Elashim Hamir, but if someone did Tmura, Mumar, the Tmura took effect, this Sofegas Arbaim, and there would be lashes. Amalucha Rav, Rav would tell you, I'll explain. Our Mishnah, Hamani Rabbi Yehudi, the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar, who says, Lav Shein Bo Maisa, Lo Kanalav, that even for a prohibition without an act, you could get lashes. What? Could you tell me that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda because of the laws of Lav, Shein, Bo, Maasa, prohibition without an act? We just got through yesterday saying that the fact that the Mishnah says Hakol is to say it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Delok Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Diktani, because the Mishnah says Hakol Imir. Everybody can do Tzmura. So we asked in the Gemara yesterday, Hakol, what are we including with that? Li Suye Mai. What are we trying to include by saying everybody can do it? Women, it says explicitly. So what's being included by saying everyone can do it? And we said Li Suye Yorish, to include a child who inherits his father's korban. Delok Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an heir, an inheritor of a korban, does not do tmura. And this Mishnah says hakol, everybody does tmura, even a heir who inherits a korban. So one second, so you can't say the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara gives an answer. Maybe, hi Tana, it's not Rabbi Yehuda speaking in the Mishnah, it's really Rabbi Meir speaking in the Mishnah. But in some things he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, in other things he disagrees. Hi Tana, the Tana of this Mishnah, Savala Kavase Bechada, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that there is lashes for a sin that doesn't entail an act. Delav she'in bo ma'isa lokan alav, a prohibition without an action you get lashes for. And he disagrees with another thing of Rabbi Yehuda. Either Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda himself holds Yorish eino somecha, Yorish doesn't lean on an animal, and a Yorish, an inheritor, eino meimir, doesn't do tmura. The Tana didan, and our Tana holds Yorish somech, an inheritor does lean on an animal, and Yorish meimir, an inheritor does do tmura. Amrav Idi Bar Avin, Rav Idi Bar Avin said, Amrav Amram, the name of Amram, Amrav Yitzhak, the name of Yitzhak, Amrav Yochan, the name of Yochan, Yishum Rav Yosef Lili, the name of Yosef Lili, Kolo Sasei Shabbat Torah, he agreed with what Rav said, any prohibition of the Torah, Asaba Maisa Loka, if he's doing an act, and through the act violating, he gets lashes, Lo Asaba Maisa, if he doesn't do an act, Potter, he's exempt from lashes, Chutz, except for the following, Nishba, if somebody takes an oath, right, he says, he swears in God's name that this wooden table is really silver. So Shvua Shav, he would get lashes. We'll see if other cases also he gets lashes. Umeimer, if he does Tmura, he gets lashes. Umekal Chaver B'Shem, if he curses his friend using God's name, he gets lashes. Afal Bishlo Asa Maisa, even though he doesn't do an act, Chayev. Mishum Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina Amru, Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina added another case. Afamatim Truma LeBikurim. Somebody looks at his produce, instead of taking the first produce and giving it to the Kohen as Bikurim, the very first produce, he makes Truma to give to the Kohen, and then he wants to take Bikurim. He also would get lashes. Okay, now let's go through this. We said four exceptions to the rule. There's a rule that to get lashes, you need to do an act. And then we mentioned four exceptions. Oaths, Tmura, cursing with God's name, and making Truma before Bikurim. Nishba Minon, how do we know that an oath can get lashes even though there's no act? Am Rabbi Yochanan Shim Rabbi Meir, Am Arka, because of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki lo yinake Hashem, Esa sheyisa shmo lashav. For God will not cleanse a person who carries his name in vain. So that tells you like this. Bezin Shalmala, the court of heaven, God, Amenachin Oso. They are not going to cleanse him. However, Avol Bezin Shalmata, but the court of below, Malkin Oso, they will give him lashes. Umenachin Oso, and thereby they will cleanse him. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, Rav Papa said to Abaye, why do you read it that way? Ve'ema, why don't you read the verse of saying, Ki lo yinake Hashem means, lo tevi lo nekius klal, he's not going to be cleansed at all. Amalei, he said to him, Imkein, if that would have meant it, lichtov krad of Hasuk should have said, lo yinake, God will not cleanse. Ki lo yinake, for he will not be cleansed. It should have just said, lo yinake, he won't be cleansed. V'lishtov, then it should be quiet. Why did it say, Ki lo yinake Hashem? For God won't cleanse him. Hashem, lovely. Why is it in the word Hashem? That's to say, Bezdin Shalmalu De'im Menachin Oso. God, at the court above, is not going to cleanse him. To imply, Avol Bezdin Shalmata, but the court below, Malkin will give him lashes for this sin of a false oath. Umenachin Oso, and they will cleanse him. Okay. Now, there are lots of different types of oaths. We're going to go back now to Masechet Shavuos. Lots of different types of oaths. Ashkechan Shvua Shav. Right, this is a source for an oath that from the time it came out of the mouth to everyone, it was clearly a waste. It was clearly not true. And he says that wood is silver. Right, that's the verse there. Shvua Shekeminon. What about an oath that's not so clear that it's not true? And you determine that it's not true. Right, an oath of dishonesty, like a guy who says he swears he's going to go to tonight's Yankees game, then he doesn't go. But when he said the words, it wasn't clear. Maybe he will go. Or he said, he swore that he went to last night's Yankees game. So again, I don't know if he was there or not. So when he said the words, it's not so clear. Then I find out he wasn't there. So that's also Shvua Sheker. How do we know that those types of oaths, Shvua Sheker, you also get lashes for? So Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar, Rabbi Yochanan himself gave the following answer. The verse says, twice the word lashav. It says lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav, and then ki lo yinake Hashem eis asher yisa eshmo lashav. So in the Aseres Hadibros in the Ten Commandments, Hashem said twice the word my name in vain. It says lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav. Don't bear the name of God your Lord in vain. Ki lo yinake Hashem esa sheyisar shmo lashav. For God will not cleanse the person who bears his name in vain. So since it says lashav, lashav, shnei pam, it says lashav twice, unnecessary to say it twice. So we may know lishvua shav, if we don't need it for an oath that from the very beginning you see it's a total waste, so one of them is for the sake of an oath which is a lie. It's a loka that you get lashes for an oath which is a lie. Maskefler Rabavo challenged this now. Shvua sheker hechidami. What type of an oath which is a lie is going to get a person lashes? If it's a case to Amar, he said, Shvua shalo ochal, I swear I'm not going to eat this piece of bread. And then, then he ate the piece of bread. That's an action. That's an action. He ate it. He did the action. The action. He's by acting, violating the Torah law. So of course you get lashes. I don't need a verse to tell me he gets lashes for that. Ela to Amar, the case is what? He says, Shvua she'ochal. An oath that I will eat this piece of bread today, and lo achal, you didn't eat it today. Ha'i be lucky. Is he getting lashes for that? Ha'itmar, but didn't we learn? Shvua she'ochal kikar ze'ayom, a man who says, I swear I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. Fa'avar yom lo achla. And the day goes by and he doesn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon, Ami, they both agree. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both say, Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Lakish both say, She'ein Elokeh, he doesn't get lashes. Now they each gave different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Ein Elokeh, Delav Shem B'Maisur. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't get lashes because he's violating it by being passive. As the day ends, he's not eating. He's sitting and doing nothing. So that passive violation doesn't get lashes. V'chol Lav Shem B'Maisur, Ein Elokeh, Delav. Rish Lakish, Amar Rish Lakish gave a different reason. Ein Elokeh doesn't get lashes. Because the warning here is not a good warning. A warning before lashes has to be, don't do X. If you do X, you're going to get lashes. Here you don't know. In the afternoon you say, don't you not eat. You better eat. Yeah, he said, I will eat. You know, I have still plenty of time. It's not a good warning. It's not a definitive warning. Any warning which is not a definitive warning, and a person's not going to know, like, you know, a few seconds before the sun sets. He doesn't know exactly when the sun's going to set. You can't get a good warning here. All right, but they both agree there's no lashes. But you just said, lashav, lashav, the second lashav is to teach me that an oath which is a lie also gets lashes. So which oath which is a lie is that's going to get lashes? If the oath was, I'm not going to eat anywhere and he ate, of course it gets lashes. I don't need a pasuk for that. You get an action. If it was that he swore that he would eat and he didn't eat, but then he doesn't get lashes. Rabbi said, I'll explain. You know what's the Shvua Sheker that gets lashes based on the verse Lashav? Tehei ba'achalti v'lo achalti. If he swore about yesterday, he swore I ate. I swore that I ate. Or he swore that he didn't eat. And he either did or he didn't, right? He didn't do the things that he said he swore that he did. So right when he's saying the words, that's the prohibition. There's no warning about, you know, a future event. You can warn him, say, don't swear falsely. You can warn him right away. And it's a Shvua Sheker, and that's included in the word Lashav. So now the Gemara asks, so Maishna the Kamar Biochalti Velo Ochalti, why are you using the extra word Lashav to include a guy who swears that he ate when he really didn't eat, or a guy who swore that he didn't eat when he really did eat? But May ochavolo ochal, and you're not including through, you have an extra word lashav, so you can use the word lashav to say that if a person swears that he will eat, velo ochal, and he doesn't eat, he should also get lashes, even though it's not a good warning, but maybe the pasuk should tell you he gets lashes for it. Amarava, Sarava explains, since we're learning it from the word lashav, and the word lashav is about the past, beferish ripsetorah sheker dumit lashav. The Torah is saying, since it says the word lashav twice, it's included a guy who swears that a table that's wood is silver, and a guy who swears about a certain type of falsehood. So that's also about the past. If I say that this table which is wood is silver, I'm swearing about the past. What was, not about what will be in the future, but was. So therefore, the sheker, the lying oath, is dumya to lashav, has to be similar to the wasted oath. Mashav, just like the wasted oath, is l'shaver, is about the past. Afsheker, so to the lying oath, which is also getting lashes. And the word l'shav is l'shaver, is about the past.
If a guy guy has a couple of l'chaim until the show. Still, he gets lashes?
Yeah. Yeah. People are held responsible even when they're drunk.
They are.
They should. Exactly. They should never have gotten drunk. Eisei Reb Yirmiyah L'Reb Avo. Reb Yirmiyah challenge Reb Avo. We have a mission in Shavuos. Shavuos Shelo Ochal Kikar Zu. A guy says, I swear I'm not going to eat this loaf. Then he says it again. Shavuos Shelo Ochlena. I swear I'm not going to eat it. Then he says it a third time. Shavuos Shelo Ochlena. I swear I'm not going to eat it. And then Va'achla. Then he ate it. Enochai V'la'achas. He only gets one set of lashes. Then the Mishnah says, V'zohi Shavuos Bitui. This is an oath that a person expresses, shechayav and alzdona makos, that if he deliberately violates the oath, he gets lashes. V'al shugagas, and if he mistakenly violated the oath, he forgot that he made the oath, carbon olav yod, he has to bring the sliding scale carbon. If he's wealthier, an animal. If he's poorer, two birds. Zohi, this is the case that he has to get lashes. L'mute mai, what's that to exclude? Lav, isn't it? Lim'ute, to exclude, ochalti v'lo ochalti. That if he swears I ate, or he swears he didn't eat, and he really ate, and he really didn't eat, to lo lucky, he doesn't get lashes, and that's against this whole Gemara. We're saying that ochalti v'lo ochalti does get lashes. Says Rav Avoh, that's not the way to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah's not trying to exclude an oath about the past, and saying an oath about the past doesn't get lashes. But it's saying that an oath that I won't eat, and he does eat, gets lashes. It's saying, Zohi, this is the case, Dal Shigigasa, that for the mistake, Maisi Karban, he has to bring the Karban Olivioid. Aval, but the oath about the past, Achalti Velo Achalti, he does get lashes, based on what we've been learning till now from the word of Lashav, but Lo Maisi Karban, but by mistake, he wouldn't have to bring a Karban. Umani, and who is this Mishnah like? Rabbi Shmuel. It's the view of Rabbi Shmuel, Damar, who says, Eino Chayiv, the carbon, Olav Yored, which a person brings for a mistaken violation of an oath, is only obligated, El Ala Asad Lavo, about a future oath. Aval Milka, but in terms of getting lashes about a past oath, lucky he does get lashes. Okay. Then another question, Ema Seifa, but read the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if a person swears that a pillar of marble is really gold, he swears it's gold, and everybody sees that it's marble. Zohi, this is Shvuashav, this is a wasted oath, Shechayav and Alzdon Amakos, that for its deliberate violation you'd get lashes, Val Shigagasa Pater, and by mistake you don't have to bring a carbon. Zohi, this is the oath. L'mute mai, what's that to exclude? Lav l'mute, isn't it to exclude achalti v'lo achalti, that if a person swore that he did eat when he really didn't eat, or he swore that he didn't eat when he really did eat, to lo lucky that he doesn't get lashes? Again, says Reb Avoh, no, look, that's not what the Mishnah is trying to say. It's saying, Zohi, this is the case, Tal Shigigasa, that if he's exempt, that if he made a mistake, when he said achalti, really, he thought achalti, really, he didn't eat, so then, patimi karban. In this case, right, this case of the Shua Shav, through the Shogeg, through a mistake, he's exempt from a karban. Aval achalti v'lo achalti, but the Shua Sheker, the lying oath, about I ate or I didn't eat, maisi karban, he does have to bring a sacrifice for the mistake. Umani, so who's that? It's Rabbi Akiva, Damar Mevi'in, karban l'shavar, who says you do bring a karban for a lying oath about the past by mistake. One second. Well, Amarta Reish, you just said at the beginning of the Mishnah saying it's Rabbi Yishmael. Now you're saying that the next line of the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. So, Ella rather, need to say for Rabbi Akiva, if the end of the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, who holds that for achalti v'lo achalti by mistake, he brings the carbon olav yored. Reish Anami, the beginning of the Mishnah, is also Rabbi Akiva. And Reisha that said, Zohi Shvuas Bitu, Shechayav and Alzdona Malkos, Lav Lemuti, Achalti V'lo Achalti, it's not to say that for the oath of Achalti or Lo Achalti, he would get Malkos. He wouldn't get Malkos. Ella, rather to say like this. This case, where he says, Lo Ochal, I won't eat, and he then eats, is where he gets Malkos. And Lemuti, in excluding Ochal, the person swore to eat, the Lo Ochal, and he ended up not eating, then he doesn't get Malkos. Umayshna, so why is there a difference? Why is the beginning of the Mishnah excluding something about Malkos, and the end of the Mishnah is excluding in the rule of the carbon olav yored? The The answer is Mishum Dekai Belahaba. In the beginning of the Mishnah, we're talking about the future tense, right? Lo ochal, I will not eat. That's the case where you do get malchus. Then it's excluding a guy who says ochal, I will eat. So mamayit lahaba, it's excluding about the future tense. Someone who says I will eat and he doesn't eat, doesn't get malchus. Dekai belahaba. So it doesn't make sense that if it's talking about the future, umemayit l'sha'avar, it should be excluding something which is phrased about the past. Okay. Thank you. We'll stop here. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow with Tzmura, Gimel Amud Beis, talking about other lavin, shein bo maisa.